What's up, everybody? What's up? What's up? What's up? I hope you all can hear me well. Tonight I was actually just kind of going through some stuff and finishing up a few things that I've been working on, and also finishing up the podcast, because you guys know, November 9th, I'm going to be announcing something that's actually going to be for the channel. I'm also looking at a couple of things as far as direction. You guys that are watching, don't be afraid to hit that super chat, because we got that. Cash App is up. All donations are going back towards the channel. As you can see, you know, we've got some new software so we can chat. We've got some tripods, got a couple gimbals, got light. So yeah, don't forget, you know, donate, help the channel keep going, keep growing. Don't forget to grab your t-shirts. But my whole purpose tonight, though, was because I was watching a movie that I had mentioned once before. But it's one of those where I've spoken to a few people tonight, and it's one of those where it just actually just I just had to come on and talk about it. Because, you know, welcome you guys that are just now checking in, and hopefully everybody's getting a notification. I actually just got mine. It's a few minutes late, but, you know, better late than never. What's up, Incorporation Doctrine? Well, the movie I'm referring to tonight is it's actually a pretty good Denzel Washington flick. It's Roman J. Israel Esquire. I don't know why it's difficult for me to say that. Anyway, he spoke about the one thing that made me think about the conversation that I had last week, where I spoke about Alishua and 1152, Woe to Ye Lawyers. And it comes back to the one thing I constantly say, I even put in the description, the fact that 95% of people never go to trial, and 90% of cases never go to a courtroom. And I was like, that is amazing to me, considering for those that go to trial, so that 5% that go to trial, they're winning almost 80% of the time. Why? Because what I put up the other day is because prosecution has to prove, not only with evidence that somebody did something, but they have to prove it with what that person was thinking. And it brought up this stupid amendment that keeps getting thrown in people's face. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor. Because when we're talking about the right to a fair trial, and 95% are never exercising it, do we have that right? Because those that question anything that goes on in our legal system, they're considered a problem. They're considered a nuisance. I even had a young man tonight. He's represented by a paid attorney. And I sent him over a discovery list, things that are supposed to be in discovery, things that I got from the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. Well, the attorneys return on him saying, hey, you need to ask for these things, was stop reading Sovereign Citizen material. And I thought that was just amazing, because that's also the return when you ask a police officer to do their job properly, is referring to his Sovereign Citizen material. And they even had a young man explain to me when I first started doing this, what you're talking about is Sovereign Citizen material. And the great part about it is, then I guess the University of Harvard is teaching Sovereign Citizen material. University of Princeton, UC Berkeley, Cornell, all these places that have law books, that have court cases, I guess they're all teaching Sovereign Citizen material. Because whenever I think of someone, they're saying Sovereign Citizen material, it's the information that I was getting whenever I was peace looking when I first started this journey. And whenever I say peace looking, the reason why I did my channel, the reason why I have this material ready available, the reason why I tell you where to go look for it, where to go research it, where to find it, is simply because when you have an opportunity to look for what is right, you don't get pieces of something. The pieces I give you are for application. I even go in depth, because I even speak about law as being situational, not subjective. Because if it was subjective, then your feelings would determine law. Law doesn't have any feelings. It doesn't care about either side when it is applied properly. Now, you hear me talk about, well, if feelings aren't a part of it, why do I speak about painting the picture? Because what I'm talking about is actually the small modicum of all the things that are set forth in front of us. Because 90% of what I teach everyone is encompassed in the 90% where most people are not even going into a courtroom. And this deals with pretrial adjudication. Because the simple things, even a traffic citation, there must be discovery. Because anytime your liberty is at stake, say that one more time. Anytime your liberty is at stake, that is a criminal procedure. Now, what they've done is they criminalized contracts. What they've done is they've criminalized agreements. What they've done is criminalized privileges. And then they teach fear. They train fear, and then they teach those that question as being the problem, when in fact the system itself is not working as it was written to work. Now, many of us understand why it doesn't, because it's working as it's designed to work. You have systematic targeting, you have a lot of things where there are overlaps simply because of. You have vindictive prosecutions. You have malicious prosecutions. You have those that tell you you can only be represented by somebody that has a bar card. When in fact, Abraham Lincoln represented those as a member of the citizens because he did not have a bar card. You look at other aspects of this, and just like I tell people, there are means in getting what you want, but in getting those things, there's a process to everything. I try to lay out a process for obtaining discovery, letting the other side know, where you don't have surprise discovery, where you don't have the other ideals of which they're attempting to kind of circumvent what it is that is law. And what's up, Alpha Taurus? What up, Peter? What's up, Free Church Press? But the one thing we're looking at is the fact that we have something where, again, it's something that I talk about because it's not a system set up to find the truth. We know it has nothing to do with the truth because if 90% of people are not going to court, we're not looking at what's right or what's wrong. We're saying everything is wrong simply because someone else says it, not because they can prove it. So therefore, a lot of times we find ourselves in matters where we're trying to hold court in the street, where we're trying to convince someone of, hell, trying to convince someone of our side of a story. And the one thing that most of us, or most those that are in the system, don't understand, don't get, or don't want, is simply stated in Washington v. Texas, 388 U.S. 14, and it's a 1967 case. And it's one that speaks to the process. And when it's broken down into the absolute context of it, is the right to present a defense. Those are things that are being hindered. Those are things that are being welcomed. I spoke about these ill manners, and one of the places that's talked about was in Houston, where, give me a half a second, I'm doing something, got to get used to this, where I spoke about in Harris County, where DA said, oh, we have a, our justice system is evidence-based justice. And in the midst of saying this evidence-based justice crap, she is not allowing her underlings. Hold on. To actually send over documents for discovery. And if you're going to have evidence-based justice, why are you not turning over discovery? Why are you withholding discovery from those that you are saying that you are doing something based on evidence? So you can kind of eradicate the ideals of wrongful convictions, those that are wrongfully accused, because when you're looking at those that are on death row and they're set out, when you're looking at over 65% of them, appreciate you, Taurus, but when you're looking at 65% of them and they're released because of ineffectiveness of counsel, that's because defense attorneys are those that are working directly with the prosecution. That's because defense attorneys are allowing the prosecution to not turn over documents. That's because they are not presenting people with a vigorous defense. They're not forcing the issue of making the prosecution do the right thing as it should be. They're not setting up things so there can be a Brady violation. Because that was one of the questions that was brought up to me tonight. What creates the Brady violation? Now, most of us don't understand or do understand that I gave a video, I believe it was a little over a year ago, is do this first if you ever have a court case. Well, in the midst of doing this first, many of us have forgotten to do that first because it's, for me, it's kind of simple. The first thing is you want to fire any bar card members because they don't have your interests at heart because they're playing for the other side. And most of us don't understand how to enforce the fact that once you pay them, they're an employee. They're not advisors. That's why it's ineffective assistance. They are assisting you in your defense. So just to go ahead and knock that on out, get rid of them. Now, because they don't care about you, and no one cares more about you than you do, or at least should not care more about you than you do. And then the second part, that is an entry of appearance. And basically, that's to let the district attorney or the prosecutor or whoever know this is who you send the documents to, because this is who's going to be putting on the defense. This is who you are going to battle against. Then you follow that up with a speedy trial motion, because you don't have all day to be playing with these people. But this is something that needs to be done at the start, the very beginning. And even just like incorporation doctrine just stated, he had a paid attorney. Many people have a paid attorney, and they're not fighting for you. They're collecting a check from you, but they're not fighting for you. That's why you have a fallible system, which is allowing people to go to prison for decades. Because if you don't remember, there was this group of five children, 14, 15, 16 years old, that was allowed to go to prison for 10 years, knowing they did not commit a crime. And people were okay with it. People were upset to this day that they went to prison and were released because they didn't commit the crime that they were accused of. Because even in allocations, when I speak about the prosecutor or the state can't apologize, that's why when they have your what do you call that, those hearings for you to get out, that they don't want you to apologize. They want you to allocate everything that you've done. They want you to say you did it and you're sorry for doing it, even if you did not commit the crime, because they can't apologize if they make a mistake. I just rattled off, I believe, 13 to 20 people that were executed, which is a permanent solution. And you look at the simple fact that if I'm a system of absolution, and I know this one is fallible and highly flawed, how can I have something as a punishment that is an absolution? And when you have, hell, when you have one person being executed knowingly innocent, that's a problem. Now, whether you believe in the death penalty or not, everyone should have an issue with that, because that could be anyone, literally. And now, because they don't want to do paperwork, we're seeing more people being killed in the streets, because it's easier to kill and apologize for it than to actually take someone in and then hope that they don't fight back. Hope that they don't challenge the system. Hope they don't allow the dragging on and they take a deal. So instead of dealing with hope, they're training the police officers to be scared of everyone. They're training the police officers to use not one of their seven non-lethal efforts to bring someone in, but their one lethal weapon. And then they're training them to use it until the subject is down. So when you're looking at these videos and you're understanding the outsides of this, are we really getting the concepts of what's being done and how and where we should be taking this fight? And the greater part is, are we actually fighting or are we condoning their actions? And I'm going to do something real quick. I'm going to look in here. See, a lot of times when we're looking at those free church press, it's not a jurisdictional challenge. Because a lot of times I don't even worry about the jurisdiction, because it's easier to face my accuser, because you can't fight with paperwork. But when you look the devil in the eye, he has no choice but to look back if you make him answer. it's harder for some. I found out, because again, I'm a bigger guy. I found out it's more difficult people to tell me no if I'm standing in front of them. It's more difficult to be boisterous if I'm standing in front of you. It's more difficult for anybody, and it's human nature. Because even if you pick a jury, I'm going to give you a secret. This is something I'm actually going to give to my master class, but I'm going to give you guys a little taste of it. When you're going into the trial, one of the reasons or one of the factors is the fact that when you go into a trial, it's difficult for 12 people to say you are a murderer. They are looking for someone to blame, but they're looking for a way to let you go. This is the reason why people win almost 80% of the time, because they're looking for a reason to send you home. Because it's hard to look you in the eye and convict you if they see that you are human. Because there's not a gun to their head. There's not a gun in their hands. They're not trained. They're the same people that are looking at the news and saying, "Oh my God, are you serious? Is this really what we're here for? Am I really sitting in the seat for this?" These are the questions that go through their head. These are the things that are statistically brought up. Because you're looking at a regular Joe. It's like you sitting up there. If someone gives you an opportunity to look and say, "Hey, I'm innocent," which is also one of the things that most people don't even realize. If you want to tell your side, depending on how bad it is, they just want to hear you say, "I'm innocent." They need those words. They don't need you to prove anything. They just need to hear it. That's why a lot of times you'll hear defense attorneys that are actually doing what they're supposed to do, probably getting paid a lot of money to do it. They'll say it in their closing. "My client is innocent of these actions or allegations." Absolutely. Because it used to be a point where we were innocent, then proven guilty. Now, because it's a system of revenue generation, we're guilty until otherwise. Because most people don't realize innocent isn't an option. Innocent is on the ballot. Innocent isn't even part of the conversation. And you know what? I appreciate your cooperation, because I do a lot of this because, not because I have to, not because anybody's asked. Well, actually, it is because I've been asked. But it because you guys actually are here and you're kind of gravitating towards it, you're giving me a reason to be up at 12 o'clock at night talking about something that seems to be the most boring thing on YouTube. And we're able to have an opportunity to go through this and get a real sense of, just like when I talk about the rules of discovery, I give you procedures. I'm speaking about the rules of evidence. And it's not something that's easy to, as they use, encapsulate. But right now we're at 300 videos and we're still going and still growing. And there are even aspects of where I can go much deeper, because I'm giving you something that's not necessarily found in book, but it's found in several books, and I'm encompassing them into one thing. And the ideals that we have today is the fact that most prosecutions are done without merit. They're done simply to get a plea bargain. They're done just to They actually train more on intimidation tactics than they are on adjudication. Because I've got a video, I've got a ton of videos that I've done. I haven't edited yet. Because I haven't found a means of being able to sit down for the most part. But when you're looking at this, the biggest reason why you have these prosecutors that don't want to go to trial is because most people have no idea that there are two types of attorneys. You have litigation attorneys and you have trial attorneys. And pretty much they speak for themselves. Very seldom do you see one that encapsulates both. And in my case, John Melvin was a litigation attorney that understood the ideals of a trial attorney. But one of the things that I noted was the fact that most litigators, they show up in trial, but they show up with a trial attorney. They're generally sitting second chair because a trial attorney is one that argues. They're the artists. They're the ones that paint the picture with the evidence placed in front of them. They're the ones that actually go out and do the magic with the jury. It's not very many of those that go into the DA's office. That's why they lose. There's not very many people in the DA's office that have an imagination because they're not trained to have an imagination. And then you're dealing with cops that aren't trained to solve any crimes. You're dealing with cops that don't know law. So therefore, there's a lot of evidence that's not going to be there. Why? Because they're rushing to get to the next one. They're not taking their time being meticulous. They're being sloppy. They're going out and they're just doing things. And in the midst of doing things, those are the holes that allow you to set them up to say, you know what? You didn't get this one. I'm going to get that one. You have the opportunity to enforce the fact that they should be practicing the law. And if they aren't, well, you all know, tap them pockets. Okay, I'm gonna give you a couple of great ones. Most time, whenever you're not allowed to speak at your original arraignment, is because you haven't set up your documents. You haven't done the first three things that I talked about. You haven't fired everybody that's a bar card member. You haven't put in the entry of appearance, because for the most part, that lets the court know that you are on your shit. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Oh, absolutely. Keep going, because and Corporation actually can vouch for this because he's in law school. When you're understanding the fact of when you're unless you're going and you're doing constitutional law, they're not teaching you law. They're teaching you statutes, codes, and ordinances. They're teaching you procedures to circumvent constitutional law. And those means are where they're giving you something because they're preparing you to pass the bar and become a member of their club. So that's where, again, those that are actually practicing law, that are applying law, are able to kind of get one up on them in a state court. And if they don't do what they're supposed to do in state court, your remedy is the removal because everything you're doing, again, has a process. And in the midst of that process, it has to be documented. And most of the time, I've only seen this not happen once. What's up, DD? I actually did get your information. You need to hit me up in the morning. But for the most part, what we're doing is we're looking at everything and understanding line by line, precept upon precept. There is a process. Soon as you get your contract to fight, you answer everything immediately. You file your documents because the contract, that's them going on the offensive. The best defense is being offensive. So when you get something from them, you give them something every time. Every time, don't care what it is, you must answer. And you know what, Free Church, I've actually had that happen as well. Because, see, here's the great part about that. That's when you start doing things like make sure if you're arrested, you get a proof of incarceration. They are going to act like they don't know what that is, and you stand there and look stupid. That's all you need to do. Don't keep repeating yourself. Don't get upset. You ask for it one time and stand there, because he who talks first loses. Understand, because even if they deny that for you, that's grounds that you can take to federal court. These are other aspects that allow you to place them on the defensive. The more active you are in defending yourself, the more you're correcting the behaviors that are going on. They'll stop doing the things that we're doing. Because again, we're still looking at such a minute, set of people that are actually fighting back. Because whenever I talk about 90% of people never go to trial, never see the inside of a courtroom, that's enormous. Because just so for every 10 people, only one person goes inside a courtroom. Every 10 people that gets arrested, only one person goes inside a courtroom. That's bananas to me. And then of that one, absolutely. That's what I tell people all the time, that you're looking at the this what I give you has nothing to do with sovereign citizenship or anything of that nature. What I'm giving you is stuff that's in a law book. Stuff that I'm giving you is stuff that's written in the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. The things that I'm giving you are straight from actual, yes, sir. The things I'm giving you are straight from the paperwork doctrine that they're supposed to have. These are their rules, not mine. That's why I can tell you, yeah, this is what you need, because you can actually go and look that up. These are things that I've gotten. These are cases that I've used. I didn't use them once, didn't use them twice. I've used them multiple times. Had very similar results every time, because the nature of the beast doesn't change, just the people that perform with him. That's it. All of them do the same thing, because all of them have the same playbook. Because even when incorporation finishes, he's going to understand their playbook. And the great part about this is the fact that most of us are hungry because we're tired of this. This is the thing that we all want changed. This is the thing that we're looking for to be different. We're not doing this because I'm not doing this for, oh, I'm gonna get super wealthy on YouTube giving out court cases. Nobody trying to do that. And that's the one thing about it. I'm giving you an opportunity to begin defending yourself at pretrial. So even if you never get to see this inside of a courtroom, you have an opportunity to at least show that I am willing to fight back. Even if you are part of that 95% that do get inside a courtroom, maybe you are part of that percentage that does not have to go to trial, because you're getting either dismissed or you're getting charges dropped, or when you're looking at the simple fact that you have the right and asking for and demanding your right to a defense. Because when you're looking at Washington v. Texas, there never should have been a Washington v. Texas. Ever. Because you have the right to confront your adversaries. You know what? I'm real Drake right now. I'm in my feelings. So, because I hate to look at a lot of this stuff, and while it should be simple, while it should be something that's, you know, if I did something, prove I did it. That's it. That's all you have to do. But instead of doing that, we look to the name calling. We look through the extortionary tactics. We look through Gestapo's tactics. And then we look to shaming. Because the only thing that yelling out, oh, that's sovereign citizens, that's to shame someone into, it's a form of manipulation. And the problem is, I'm confident enough to know the difference. Thank you, Incorporation. I'm confident enough to know the difference between what you're telling me, because I know, one, you're wrong, and two, I think you're stupid. But I'm confident to know that I can pick up your book and tell you where you're wrong. I can pick up your statement and show you where you're lying. I can actually look at your procedures and show you where you're falling short. So when you're giving me things that I not only know, but I live, it becomes something different. So the right to present a defense, that should never be something that was adjudicated on. Because each and every one of those people raised their right hand, put their hand on a Bible, which they tell me is the standard bearer for this country, as right. And they swear to uphold and defend the Constitution. Where in the first words of the Constitution is, we the people. Are the highest in regard, not the civil servant. So if you go into a service job, because the actual meaning of service is to serve, to be one that is beneath, to cater to. None of those words mean authority. None of those words mean authoritarian, commander. Because even one of the videos that I'm doing talks about a police officer giving instructions. Because, again, I even wrote it down, did a couple videos a couple years ago that talked about Terryville, Ohio. If an officer gives instructions without a crime, absent a crime, and I follow those instructions, that is a Fourth Amendment violation, because you are not an authoritarian. Notice I just gave a court case. I've actually shown it several times. But do you know the funny thing is, people still dispute me, but they won't look up Terryville, Ohio. They won't open up the case. They won't even look at the disposition. But they'll tell me that I've said something wrong, but won't show me where it's wrong at. Because one of the things that I love is the simple fact that everything that I've given you, not only have I used at one point or another, and if I haven't, I've told you. But It's something you can look up independently without me. You don't have to go and just take my word for it, because it's not mine. The education is not mine to keep. The knowledge that I have is not mine. It is something that is free. That's why Harvard gives it away. That's why Princeton gives it away. That's why Cornell gives it away. Because if you're going to spend the time and you're going to sacrifice your most precious commodity, you should have a right to actually be able to decipher what it is that you're looking at. Because what I'm offering you is, when you're presenting this defense, is how to construe evidence, how to distinguish privileges, and go beyond statutory limitations. Because each and every situation is just like a chessboard. Because one move may have seen you be without. It offers you an opportunity to create something that goes back and corrects any mistakes that you've made. There's always a secondary out. Very few moves are absolute. And even in some cases, it allows you to reset the game. And absolutely, I give you guys, again, everything that I have, because I don't want to just send you out there. Because, like I said, when I started, I got a lot of information that was bad. I got a lot of stuff that wasn't complete cases, wasn't even from cases. It was things that people thought, and then 1,000 people used it. And then they were wondering why things weren't happening. So then whenever I actually started grabbing actual law books and actually spent the time in, I found a reason to give you something. And at this point, this is my legacy. Giving you guys the time that I actually spent doing this, offering you an opportunity to see inside, not only, I guess, pulling back the curtain door of what we once saw as something that was taboo, that was something that was, it was hidden from us for whatever reason. And now we have an opportunity to go beyond where we thought we could be at. Well, I'm actually going to close tonight with that. Just understanding you have the right to introduce material evidence in your favor. Whatever it is, character, unless the state can demonstrate that the jury is incapable of determining its weight and credibility, and that the only way to ensure the integrity of the trial is to exclude the evidence altogether. Because you have the right to present a defense. They have an obligation to present facts that's tangible, things you can touch, things that are real. And they have to give you something that is more than lip service. So, thank you guys again. I'm going to have some more stuff for you tomorrow. Don't forget, hit the Cash App. Boom. And grab your t-shirts. I love you guys. Supreme. Out.